Good evening. It's just an honor to be with you guys here. Thank you so much, Pastor, for inviting me. My name is George Saik. Saik, it means smith or goldsmith in Arabic. My great-grandfather was a goldsmith. That's why we're originally from Syria. And Syria, a lot of time, they go with the last name as your job. But over 100 years ago, Turkish took over Syria and started persecuting Christians. And my great-grandfather moved from Syria to Sudan, and that's where I was born. The word Sudan, it means black man. Aswad, in Arabic, it means black. Sudan, it means black man. And 2.5 million Christians in Sudan being killed by the sword of Islam, as persecution was going on for over 30 years. And then the war stopped. They cut Sudan to two countries. But around 3 years ago, the war started again in the north. So many Christians are being persecuted right now. Our Ministry to Muslims Network, or M2M Network, we do a lot of work across the country in the United States. We focus in Dearborn, Michigan, and Minnesota, the Twin Cities, and many other places in California and other places. But also, for the last few years, we started going to the UK. I don't know if you hear about what's happening dealing with Islam in the UK. Only 5% of the UK are Muslims. Only 5%, but they're already controlling the country. Around 3 years ago when I went there was only one Muslim mayor for London. Now they have 13 Muslim mayors. And it's very challenging. But our ministry started by God's grace 3 months before September 11, 2001. What a perfect timing. And I started something called Arabic Christian Education Center as an Arabic Christian bookstore in Anaheim, California. And when September 11 happened, that sign, Arabic Christian Education Center, drew everybody that I needed. From Christians to come on volunteers, from Muslims coming to hear the gospel, they started just coming all the way to me. And when September 11 happened, we started going to the mosques. Every single Friday, we go to the mosques, we stand outside the mosques and share the gospel with Muslims as they're coming out of the mosques. But we deal with different methods and different ways. It's based on what Muslims we're sharing the gospel with, from park outreach with Muslim refugees to activities with children with the refugees, or public debates. Like, we just came back from Dearborn, Michigan, and Wayne State University, we had a public debate on the topic that I'm going to be speaking about tonight, the Jesus of the Quran, Isa, they call him, and the Jesus of the Bible. Which one should we trust? We know as Christians who we should trust, our trust in our Lord and Savior. Before we start, if we can just pray quickly and we can get into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that I can be here tonight with my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you anoint me, Lord, and give me the word to speak, Lord, and help me to accomplish what you have me here to come for, Lord. And I just pray that you may give us a heart for the Muslim people, Lord. And if we have anything against them in our hearts, Lord, I pray that give us the ability to forgive them and love them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Around 12 years ago, I have this Korean sister. She is in her 80s, or she was at that time late 70s. She came with me to the mosque. And she started talking to Muslims. And every Muslim she met, they say, oh, we believe in Jesus. Then a few minutes later, she could say, why we are here? They all believe in Jesus. But is he the same Jesus? Is he the Jesus of the Bible? Is he the Jesus that God became a man, the Son of God, as the song said? Is he the one died on the cross? We're going to go through some of the similarities and the differences. In between, I will be making some comments. But it is a huge topic when it deals with Islam. And I encourage you, if you have the time, to come tomorrow with us, as we're going to have a morning training, and then we're going to go to the local close by, I don't know exactly which one, university, where we're going to be engaging with Muslim students. And also Friday, as we're going to a mosque, and it's possible we can have a tour inside the mosque. It's possible we're going to be outreach outside the mosque. But I encourage you, if you want to get involved with us and come out, this would be awesome. These people need the love of Christ. They need the message of Christ that can change their hearts. Okay, we're going to go first through the similarities and then the differences. Christianity and Islam teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin without a father. And if you see here in this passage that showing that Mary have a son without a husband, very clearly. But in the Quran, Allah saying the reason he have no son, Allah, the God of Islam, his reasoning in the Quran that he have no son because he has no, here I said wife, but actually the Arabic is say girlfriend. Because he has no girlfriend, he cannot have a son. That's why they reject the idea that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's give us what? Give us to understand that really Allah think that Christians believe that Allah, the God of Islam, think that we believe that God married to someone to have a son. That's their thinking, that when we say that Jesus, Son of God, that God has a wife or a girlfriend. And Allah in the Quran make it very clear, I have no girlfriend, I cannot have a son. But it's not the Muslims misunderstanding. No, Allah himself, the God of Islam himself, misunderstanding what Christians, what we believe when we say Jesus is the Son of God. But my question, if Mary can have a son without a husband, why Allah cannot have a son without a wife or a girlfriend? Which one is more powerful? Christianity or the Quran and the Bible teaches that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And when you look at it like that, you would think, oh, this is similarity. But when you go in more depth, you're going to have problems. Because who's the Holy Spirit, according to Islam? Muhammad was very confused about the Trinity. He made God just Allah. And he, by the way, the word Allah is the Arabic word for God. Even in my Arabic Christian Bible, we use Allah. But my Allah is not the Muslim's Allah. My God is not the God of Islam. It's completely different. Absolutely, it's not the same God. How we can see that? We can see when we study the character of the God of the Bible and the God of Islam. It's a huge difference. But Muhammad, he did not know what to do with the triune God. He took Allah by himself. Jesus made him only prophet. He did not know what to do with the Holy Spirit. They are so confused about who's the Holy Spirit. And now majority of Muslims believe that Angel Gabriel is the Holy Spirit. And that's a problem. Because God's Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. If Allah is eternal and the Holy Spirit is eternal, there's more than one eternal here. And according to Islam, the only unforgivable sin is to believe in multiple gods. That's why when they say that we believe in the Trinity, they hear us talking about the triune God, they think we worship three gods. Not they, Allah himself in the Quran says that we worship three gods. That's why that's the unforgivable sin. But the problem is if the Holy Spirit, because non-Muslims believe the Holy Spirit one with the Father or with Allah. They believe it's two different ones, but the Holy Spirit is eternal and Allah is eternal. That's the unforgivable sin, according to Islam. Now, also, if you look at that passage, it starts, we breathed into her. Who's we? If Allah is one, their answer usually the way of majesty. But if Allah is the greatest and He's only one, not a triune God, just one, why He lowered Himself to world government to say we? We breathed into her. Is He talking Him and the angels breathed into Mary? What is clearly that Muhammad took it from the Jews, from the Old Testament, and from the Bible, how we used we, our God used the word we, but our God is His triune God. But He took it without understanding what we meant. Jesus is a servant. The Bible teaches that. The Quran teaches that. Jesus is a prophet. We do agree. But He's more than just a prophet. Jesus is the Word of God. And that's a very important one. Because according to Islam, the Quran is a word of Allah. Even though when you open any Quran, you see the name of the printer, printing shop and all that, and an address and everything, it's forbidden to say the Quran is being created because Allah's word cannot be created. Allah's words is eternal. It cannot be created. If Jesus is the word of God, then He is eternal. They cannot just pick and choose. The punishment of saying the Quran being created in the Islamic world is to be crucified if they saw you saying that, they heard you saying that. But also, according to Islam, the Quran, in the Day of Judgment, going to become a white man. The Quran going to be a witness against Muslims or for Muslims, that it tell Allah that how much the Muslims recited the Quran to give them good deeds. I am the one I made your mouth dry from how much you recited. I am the one I made your nights long. But the Quran, the word of Allah, is going to become in the Day of Judgment a human. And the Quran is eternal according to Islam. This white man is eternal. We do believe Jesus is the Word of God, and that Word of God became a man 2,000 years ago. The Word spoke to Abraham, even before his existence, before Abraham, I am, Jesus said. The Word of God became a man, and it's eternal. But our differences is, they believe Allah's Spirit is eternal, but it's not one with Allah. They believe Allah's word is eternal, but not one with God. This is three eternal. Allah, His word, and His spirit separately. But the difference is that we believe that the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is one God, not three gods. We are the one not committing shirk or monotheism. We believe in, polytheism. We believe that God is one. And they dismantle God. They believe Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah, but absolutely they have no understanding what the Messiah meant. Muhammad hears things, he put it in his Quran, without understanding what the Messiah really is. We see here the Quran is supposed to be written or revealed in 23 years, 13 years in one city in Mecca, and then 10 years in Medina. The first 13 years, he never mentioned the word Messiah. Not until he moved to the next area and he met Christians. And that's just very obvious that he started hearing the word Messiah used for Jesus and then he adapted in his Quran. Before, always, he was, the Quran says, Jesus, the son of Mary. Never mentioned the word Messiah, not until he moved to Medina and he was around Christians. Or secular Christians or nominal Christians, let's say, and he started adapting the word Messiah. If it is truly the word of God, God knows that Jesus is the Messiah from the beginning. Why he have to wait 13 years until he adapted? Jesus is sinless, and this is amazing, because even though the Quran says that Jesus is sinless, the Quran Allah asking Muhammad to ask for forgiveness of sin for himself and for the believers. Then their prophet, clearly, he is not sinless. But according to the Quran, Jesus is without sin. According to the Quran, too, without sin, Jesus and John the Baptist. According to the Hadith, Hadith is the teachings of Muhammad, that two without sin, Mary and her son Jesus. But both of them, at least, their prophet and their God, agreed in one person that Jesus was without sin. The amazing part is that Jesus is without sin, and he is the only one, according to Islam, which we're going to go next, that Jesus is with God, that God took him to himself, raised him up to himself. Even though the Quran says that Jesus, it says this, God caused him to die. God caused him to die. But in English translation, they remove the word caused him to die out. They say just raised him to myself. But according to Islam, Jesus is with God. No Muslim can deny the fact that Jesus is with God. And there's no Muslim can tell you for sure Muhammad is with God today. But for you to understand how powerful this is, you have to understand first to know where is God. According to Islam, Allah was not in the garden with Adam and Eve. If you look at that story in the Bible in Genesis 3 and you go in the Quran, Allah was the different that Allah was not walking with Adam and Eve. Allah cannot enter earth. And Allah will not be in heaven or garden, their paradise. He will not be there. Allah was not in the garden, Allah will not enter earth. Allah will not be in paradise. But wherever Allah is, no Muslim knows really where Allah is. Wherever Allah is that Jesus is for sure with him. When they mention Muhammad, they ask Allah to let him enter to paradise. Remember, paradise is a place where God will not be there. Allah will not be there. They want Muhammad to go to paradise. What is paradise in Islam? They call America the great Satan. Why? Because of homosexuality, because of wine, because of all this evil stuff they point to. And they say this is Christianity and this is bad. America the great Satan. Whatever they attack America for, that's going to be in their paradise. According to the Quran, river of wine. If you have one wife on earth, you will have 72 there. If you have two, times 72. And according to a verse in the Quran, it says, "Wildanun mukhalladun." They will have boys, homosexuality, and child molestation in their paradise. And they pretend to be holy and nice and like they, a lot of people are attracted to Islam because they look like, oh, they are submitting to God and they dress good and they cover their women and all that. But that's not what Islam really teaches. I ask an imam, are you looking forward to see Allah one day? I know it's not, Allah will not be in paradise, but I want to see what he says. He looked in the ground for a while and like 20 seconds and then he said, Allah will not be in paradise. I ask another Muslim, are you looking forward to see Allah in paradise? You know what he said? Why I need Allah at that time? I'm obeying him here just to enter paradise and then forget him. I have no time for Allah. It's so sad. This is not the heaven described in the Bible. This is not the heaven that we are looking for. And praise God, it's not. Jesus is the judge that's going to come and judge the world. The Quran says that Jesus is the sign or the miracle of the day of judgment. And according to Muhammad, in the commentary of Ibn Kathir and other commentaries, It says that Jesus is the miracle of the day of judgment because he's going to come back as a fair judge and just ruler. But in the same time, the Quran says what? That Allah will not share his judgment with anyone. There's so much contradictions in the Quran. So much contradictions. Allah will not share his judgment with anyone, but Allah, Jesus is coming back to judge the world. Yes, they say he's going to come back and break the crosses and he's going to pray as a Muslim. All these things are great, what we just heard. Jesus is with God. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is without sin. Jesus was born without the Father. All these things sound really great, but I don't use them to prove Jesus' deity. I don't. I use them side by side with this passage that Jesus is not more than a prophet. He is only a prophet, not more than a prophet. And put them side by side. How can Jesus be the only one that you know for sure he's with God right now? And he was born without a father. He is without sin. And he is coming back to judge the world. And he is not more than a prophet. This picture doesn't make sense. Then take them to God's word to show them why Jesus is the Messiah. Why Jesus is without sin. Why Jesus. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to tell you, oh, your Bible being corrupted. When he showed them that from the Bible. But if you ask a Muslim, because they believe in the Torah, the book of Moses, the Psalms, the Zabur, they call it, and the Injil, the gospel, which they believe that revealed to Jesus, the prophet Jesus. If you ask them, what's the religion of Moses? They will say, Islam. What's the religion of David, the one he received the Psalms? Islam. Was the religion of Jesus? Islam. Okay. This book, have with you a full Bible. This book, let me tell you what this book is. 66 holy books revealed into a 40 different, more than 40 different prophets in three different continents and three different languages in a period of 1,500 years. All of it revealed, according to you, to Muslim prophets. Let's add the Quran to them, 23 years. It becomes 1,523 years of Islamic revelation, right? He will agree. Then now you turn around and you tell me 1,500 years of revelation being corrupted. If you did the math, that's 98.5% of Islam being corrupted. Is this the religion you're inviting me to? To the 1.5% still left? Really? They're all Muslim prophets. They're being sent all by the same God. If this God 66 times failed to protect his books, should I trust in another book of his? Especially the God of Islam in chapter 3, verse 54, chapter 7, verse 99, and chapter 8, verse 30, it says, Allah, the best of all deceivers. In the Quran, in black and white. Is this a God that I can trust? And that passage in chapter 3, verse 54, is in regard to Jesus. They say the Jews deceived to kill Jesus. Allah deceived by And Allah, the best of all deceivers, by Allah taking Jesus and putting someone else on the cross. Allah did not just deceive the enemy of Jesus to rescue him. He ended deceiving the best disciples of Jesus. They went for years preaching that message and they were killed for that message. That message is spread all over the world. Throughout the centuries, how many Christians died believing that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. They did not know. And Allah waited 600 years to send an Arabian prophet to tell us and expose the fact that Allah deceived us to think that Jesus died on the cross. They say that Allah sent the Torah to Moses, the Old Testament to Moses. He trusted the followers of Moses to protect it, but they did not do their job. They corrupted it. That's why he have to send the Psalms with David. And he trusted the followers of David to protect it, and they failed and they did not do their job. That's why he have to send Jesus with another book. And he trusted again. Like if Allah did not know the future, they're going to corrupt it. But this time he say, I'm going to do it differently. The Quran is not going to be a book. The word Quran, it means to recite, to memorize. If you met any Muslim, going to tell you, oh, all over the world, Muslim memorized the Quran to the letter. It is in the heart of the believers and the mind of the believers all over the world. Allah did it differently this time. He learned from his mistakes. And now they are kept it in the memory of the believers all across the world the same. And that's not true. In my office alone, I have 13 different Arabic Qurans. Our teams across the country and UK, we have 37 different Arabic Qurans. And we have a list of many more that have been burned by the early Muslims. But let me go back to the story. They say now it kept in the memory of the believers. How we know the Quran was not meant to be a book? When the Quran says people of the book, it meant Christian and Jews, not Muslims. No Muslims can claim that he is people of the book. The Christian and Jews are the people of the book, Ahl al-Kitab. The Muslims are not people of the book because there was no need for a book. It was supposed to be meant. Allah tried out different method. Maybe this time he will succeed. But right after Muhammad died, immediately after Muhammad died, Aisha, the youngest wife, she was 6 years old when he sexually used her, but he married her when she was nine, and he was 56. When Aisha, when Muhammad died, she led the military against Ali, the cousin of Muhammad, and thousands of Muslims died. Then they became so concerned that Allah's new method of keeping the Quran is failing because the people are dying. Those that memorize the Quran, that are the best memorizers of the Quran, died in the war. They start becoming so concerned, not until the third successor, Uthman, he started taking the task of collecting this in writing. They went back again to the method that Allah used first with the Christian and Jews and the followers of Moses, David. They realized that Allah failed by changing the method to be relying on memory. And if Allah really chose now to do it better, would he choose the Arabic language? It was not even developed. If you have three faces, smiley faces, three of them next to each other, each one of them is a letter. If you put the dot in the bottom, it's B. If you put two dots in the top, it's T. If you put two in the bottom, it's Y. If you put three in the top, it's TH. And if I play with these dots, I can change these three shapes, three letters next to each other, from house to girl to tree or plant. I can change it to 19 different words. The dots were not there yet at that time when they wrote the Quran. That's why they ended with all these differences. If Allah, it seems like Allah has no good judgment. The God of Islam doesn't have good choices he take. He say he sent, according to Quran, he sent Jesus to guide mankind to heaven. But what Allah meant to send him guidance to mankind, he mislead millions of people, billions of people through history to believe that he died on the cross and he did not die on the cross. So what if the Jews killed Jesus? According to Islam, the Jews killed John the Baptist. Or the Romans killed John the Baptist. So what if they killed Jesus? Muhammad himself was killed by a Jewish woman. She gave him a poison. He suffered for 2-3 years, but he died as a result of that poison. His friend trusted Muhammad because he saw him eating. He smelled the poison. He stopped. But when he saw Muhammad eating the poison, he ate it. He trusted. He put his trust in Muhammad because he thought he's a prophet. He would know if the food was poison. But he died. Then Muhammad said, "The food spoken to me has been poisoned." It did not take your friend for the food to, for a miracle to happen to know that the food was poisoned. He already knew. He smelled it. He stopped, but he trusted you. Why the food did not speak to you a few minutes earlier? They brought the Jewish lady that he just killed her parents. He killed her tribe. He conquered her city. And she came and offered him, "Can I cook lamb for you?" "Yeah, that's nice of you." He trusted her right after he killed her husband and father and everybody and conquered the city. She told him, he told her, "Why did you do that to me?" She said, "I said, if you are a king, I will get rid of you. And if you are a prophet, you will not die and you will know it's being poisoned." She put him to the test and clearly he failed the test. Islam is not from God. Violence, I talked about Sudan, I talked about, and we can see September 11 what happened, and it's coming soon, 25 years, can you believe that? But I plead to you here today, do not hold this against the Muslim people. You need to separate Islam as a religion from the people. We love these people, we want to see them coming to know Christ as a Lord and Savior. Our problem was the teaching of the Quran. Our problem was the teaching of Muhammad. But Muslims, they really sincere people. They really think. They think they worship the true God. The Quran from beginning to end claimed to be revealed by the same God of the Bible. They think. And that's why I believe that it is the word for Christians at that time, we used the word Allah as well at that time. Because if he claiming that he received the same message from the same God that he sent the message to all the other prophets, he have to use the same name that the Arab Christians at that time and the Arab Jews at that time used. Ilah, it means God. If you add Alif Lam next to it, it become Allah, the God. It's a generic term for God in Arabic. But they think that that message is from the true God. Whatever they're doing, and they're carrying bombs and killing others because they think the true God asked them to do so. But when they come to know Christ, it takes a lot of struggle for them. One, not just the penalty of leaving Islam is death, but the only unforgivable sin is to believe Jesus is God, to believe there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Satan wants to make sure he locked them in that religion, false religion. Muslims, when they pray, every day they pray multiple times, many times, the first chapter of the Quran. They're asking Allah to lead them to the right path. That's great. Do that. But then they tell him, "Do not take us to the way of those went astray," which is the Christians, according to the commentary, "and don't lead us to the way of those that your wrath upon them," the Jews. I plead to them, please, would you just ask God to show you the way? What if the Christian way is the way? You are immediately, every time you pray, after you ask him, "Lead me to the right way," you're telling him, "Accept the Christian way." What if the Christian way is the right way? Would you please put your trust in the God that he created you and tell him, "Show me the way." Amen. I don't know how many of you know Muslim here, but since just from the airport going to Old Bridge and coming here, I saw so many Muslims in Walmart and other places. They mark themselves, especially for you, with black burqa, and you can tell who they are. Share the love of Christ with them. The love of Christ is not just, "Oh, I love you, I'm nice to you." No, you have to share the gospel message. The idea of just live nice and be good and if necessary use words, that doesn't work. They need the gospel message. The idea, oh, Jesus loves you, and walk away, they think we don't really have answers. They don't believe that we are passionate enough to stand and debate them. They are passionate, they are loud, they are yelling and screaming. But you see us going through this, and then before we leave, they come and hug me and say, come back again. That's their culture. That's our culture, that we are loud people. My friend, Dr. David Wood, I don't know how many of you knows the name Nabil Qureshi, Dr. Nabil Qureshi. He came to Christ through Dr. David Wood, led him to Christ. But they were debating for 4 years. 4 years they debated. The first 2 years, David was defending the Bible. Nabil came in a place where he believed that the Bible being 99% accurate now, but the Quran is still 100% accurate. Then they had to debate 2 more years bringing the Quran down for him. Then it became 99%, 99%. Then he started asking God for a dream. The majority of Muslims that I know that came to Christ is through dreams and visions. That's one thing you can pray for. Jesus revealing himself to them even in Saudi Arabia while they're doing their pilgrimages and leading them out of Islam. He come to them personally. Just last Friday at a mosque, in front of a mosque in Charlotte, North Carolina, this lady, she came to return the gospel material back. But she told us that Jesus came to her in a dream. And it just broke my heart because she's still rejecting his word, but even though he came to her in a dream, I pleaded to her. I told her, maybe God gave you that dream. Maybe God gave you life. Maybe he waited for you and he's sending me now to you to tell you why he revealed himself to you. Because she did not question who's that person came to me. She knew exactly who he was. She knew he was Jesus without any question. Usually when we show them a picture of Jesus or a DVD, it has a picture of Jesus. How did they know how he looks like? But every one of them that they saw dream of Jesus, they knew exactly who he was. They don't say, oh, that's maybe Muhammad or this is that. No, they know he's Jesus. So many of them live under fear. They're coming for this great country for a freedom, but they live as hostages in this religion, false religion. Please be bold. You don't need to discuss politics. Please don't go there. Stay in the gospel message. Bring it to the gospel message. There's so many amazing stories they know from the Bible, but they don't know the full story. For example, they know the story of Adam. They know one sin caused him to be separated from God. They're trying to call it mistake. Don't ever go for that. Don't lower sin to mistake. Don't do that. Some Christian organizations, they do that. I don't like that. Don't lower sin to mistake. No, it's not mistake. It was disobedient to God. One disobedience caused God to separate from us. But he did not just leave us there. The whole time, he wanted to bring us back to himself. Use the story of Noah. They are very familiar with it. Because they're going to tell you, we love Jesus. We pray, we believe in Jesus. We love Jesus more than you. They're going to tell you that. Ask them, do you love Noah as well? They will say, absolutely. Imagine Noah's ark is here. Imagine Noah standing up there and calling you to come in. What happened if you continually shouting, I love you, Noah, but he did not enter the ark? They will tell you, we will be perished. What did people do during that time? They were laughing. He's telling me it was only the only way for salvation to enter that ark. It was God's way of salvation. It was the only way to enter to be safe or you laugh at it and you get perished. Because they're going to laugh at you in the end when you tell them God became a man and died. Because in the end, you're going to tell him, today you can shout as much as you want, I love you, Jesus. But he's in a new different ark called the cross. He is up there calling upon you. If you just call saying, I love you, but you don't obey him, you don't come in, you will be perished as well. Show them these stories that are familiar with. Abraham's story. Don't debate Ishmael or Isaac. The Quran never said Ishmael. The Quran say son of Abraham. Let's agree he's the son of Abraham. Let's focus on the lamb or the ram that God sent and link it to John's word. This is the lamb of God coming to take the sin of the world. Bring them to the gospel. Take them from what they know to what they don't know. Bring them to the gospel. Do you know that Jesus, where he was crucified, is the exact place where Abraham was about to kill his son? Ask them, why did God ask Abraham to kill his son? They will say, oh, he's testing his faith. Ask them, did he pass the test? They will say, absolutely. Ask them, why the sacrifice? Every Muslim in the world today, they have to do the sacrifice, every family. They do it every year. But when you ask them that question, they have no answer. They don't know why the sacrifice. Because they're going to ask you later, why God just doesn't forgive us? Why he have to come from heaven to earth to die for us? Ask them about that ram, where it come from. God provided the sacrifice. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And link it to Jesus. Why? The same reason. It's God. We can't pay. We don't have enough to pay. Use the stories. Use your testimony, because it's not really your story. It's the story of Jesus in your life. How he changed your life and how he is able to change theirs as well. Share your testimony with them. If there's any common ground between us and Muslims, don't ever say that we worship the same God, because we don't. Our God is not the best of all deceivers. That's insult to the God of the Bible. The only common ground, how we used to be before we came to know Christ. How we used to live in fear. How we used to not know where we're going to go after we die. That's where they are at now. Take them from that as you share your testimony from where you used to be. Take them to where Jesus changed your life and how he is able to change theirs as well. The Muslims believe God is a father to no one. They reject the idea of God as a father. Sadly, there's a group of people called the Insider Movement. I don't know if any is here because we're inviting people. But if you are here, I do want you to hear. Sadly, Wycliffe translators, with the help of Wycliffe, they removed Son of God out of the Bible to not offend Muslims in Islamic languages. They removed Father out of the Bible to not offend Muslims. This is not acceptable. There's no one has the right to change one letter in God's word. If you're supporting anyone in Wycliffe or Frontiers, you need to ask them clearly where they stand as individuals, where that with their position on the Son of God issue. If you're giving a Bible in other languages you don't know, please confirm. Confirm the deity of Christ. Confirm that they did not. This is not corrupt translation. Please confirm that before you give it out. But the idea that God is a father, that's what drove Muslims to Christ, to Christianity. Many of them desire to call God as a father. For them, Allah is his master and they are slaves. They cannot dare but to follow his rules. Every time the Quran says Allah is a love or wadud, conditional love, always comes with a list of things people must do in order to be loved by him. Deep in the heart of Muslims, they know they cannot be loved by him. They're hoping when they are older and doing less sin, maybe maybe they can be accepted by him. Even though one good deed in Islam, Muhammad was trying to help them out, one good deed will erase 10 good bad deeds, still they are not really trusting that they can make it. According to Islam, there's an angel on the right shoulder and one in the left shoulder. The one in the right shoulder write all their good deeds, and this one, I have a friend, he became a Christian, his name is Ali, he said, I knew without a shadow of doubt this one was working overtime. The one he was working, writing his bad deeds. There is no assurance of salvation except if they kill people dying for Islam. But even that is questionable. How can they put their trust in God that his name, he's been called the best of all deceivers? Abu Bakr, the first to become Muslim voluntarily, not forced and not slave being bought by Muhammad. When he was, Muhammad promised 10 people, called Al-Mubashirin Al-Ashara. 10 people were promised paradise, including himself, that he is number 10. But the first one to promise paradise was Abu Bakr, the father of his 6-year-old wife. I guess that was the price. He promised him to paradise, but when he was dying, he was so scared. They told him, why? You've been promised paradise. He said, "Is أحد قدمي داخل الجنة وأحد مخارج الجنة لا أؤمن مكر الله." If one of my foot in heaven, one out of heaven, I will not trust the deception of Allah. Not until I am fully inside. Why? Because the Quran says Allah the best of all deceivers. Because the Quran, according to the Quran, Allah deceived the best followers of his prophet Jesus to make them think that he died on the cross and he did not. Because in the Quran that billions of Christians through centuries believe that Jesus died on the cross because Allah tricked them to believe that. Is this a God that you want to put your trust in him? Look, there is a time you can discuss this, Allah the best of all deceivers. But I don't encourage you to share it with them from the beginning. You don't cut someone's nose and then give him a flower to enjoy. They're not going to enjoy it. You don't talk to them about Muhammad, Mary, 6 years old, and you think they're going to hear the gospel. Leave this stuff they are very familiar with. They know it. It is in black and white in their books. But according to chapter 3, verse 28, they are permitted to lie to deceive us. According to the book, it's called Umdat al-Salik, and The Reliance of the Traveler. It has summarized the Islamic rules and stuff. They say 3 permissions to lie. If you are in time of war, if you are in the land of the enemy, or to your wives. If you are considering marrying a Muslim, be careful. But not what they tell you, you think is true. They are permitted to lie to us. English translations of the Quran, they use deception, so much deception. But from the cover, you know, it says this is the meanings of the Quran. The English is not the Quran. It has to be in Arabic to be Quran. You can bring translation to understand Allah's word. But the problem is Allah will never understand you when you are praying, except if you pray to him in Arabic. You can use translation for yourself to understand. But Allah, the translation will not work with him. You must pray in Arabic. And if your Arabic was not accurately being pronounced, Allah will hear your voices like donkeys. Will not even answer your prayers. That's one of the reasons that my friend Ali, the one I just talked about him a second ago, he left Islam. Because at that time he spoke Swahili, he spoke French, he spoke English, he spoke Arabic fluently. And he was in Chad, the country in Africa. He was teaching these African people to memorize the Quran, and they have so much hard time pronouncing it correctly. And one day he just found himself in his office yelling and screaming, "Allah, do I know more languages than you?" Another time when he was praying, when he was a kid, that started when he was very young, he was praying, he prayed the wrong direction because he was very tired, he slept late, and he woke up really early, and he went and as praying, he faced the wrong direction. When they woke up in the morning, his brothers were laughing at him and really troubled him. When he went to school, he dared to ask a question to the teacher. Are we worshiping the God exists everywhere, or are we worshiping idols in Kaaba in Mecca? Why we have to face that one direction for Allah to hear our voices? He was punished for that. Later in college, a friend of his during the Islamic law was enforced at that time. A lot of people were their hands being cut off because of stealing. The government steal as much as they want, but when they catch the people stealing, they cut their hands. And his friend at college, he wrote in the blackboard or whiteboard at that time, I think blackboard, he wrote down, "You cut my hand, you cut my feet, are you a god or a butcher?" Describing what's happening in the country. The Muslims became very angry at his friend for questioning Allah. They tie him in a chair and they give him a chance to repent, to say the shahada again, and he refused. He was stabbed many times until he died in front of his friend. He said, "They killed my friend, but now I start asking the same question, but I couldn't say it out loud. Are you a god or a butcher?" So many Muslims, they have fear. So much fear inside of them. It takes between 2 years to 8 years for Muslims to come to Christ. But don't give up. But also, don't think, oh, it's his heart. If it's us changing the heart, it's impossible. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us knows exactly what they need to hear. That's why as you work among Muslims, you need to be in prayer. You need to have people praying for you. But as you're talking to them, because you don't know what they went through during their life. You don't know if they already saw dreams and visions, or if someone already 8 years ago shared the gospel with them. But it's very important to ask God to lead you. Is it time to preach the gospel, or is it time to grab the fruit? You have to know. You have to ask the Lord to lead you as you talk to these people. Because sometimes we're rushing, we want to see fruits, but the seeds was not even being planted. Be patient. If you know Muslims, build that friendship with them. Go to the same gas station where the cashier is a Muslim. Let them be familiar with you. Start greeting them and be nice to them and ask them about how they're doing. Ask them about where they are from. But before even that, and truly we need to pray for every single Islamic country. Pray that God will bring peace to these places. Pray that Jesus will visit these countries and visit these people. And when you meet these people, when you ask them, "Where you are from?" "I am from Pakistan." "I've been praying for your country." That one sentence will break all the walls, because now they recognize you care about them. "I've been praying for your country." If you are working among Muslims, please watch the news, read, see what's happening there. But not for the sake of defending America or American foreign policy. No, but just to see what's happening. You don't have to say you are right or we are right. You can say, "I'm sorry, there's a lot going on in your country. I pray that God will bring peace." Yes, we do need to pray for the church as well in these countries. We need to pray for those in prison chains. There's so many ways, opportunities God can open the doors for you. Google Islamic holidays. They have the month of Ramadan. Immediately after that, they have a big celebration. But during Ramadan, they will not say no for you to come to the mosque and break the fast or just have a meal with them and talk to them. They will welcome you in. But I don't encourage you to go one or two people. Go group of people, team together, and go together. Inside, build connections, exchange phone numbers. Then later on, you can do follow-ups. Don't let fear control you. Fear what keeping Muslims in Islam, and fear what keeping the church from sharing the gospel with Muslims. Please pray against the fear. I remember this lady at the Arabic festival in Dearborn, Michigan. That's happened in 2006. She was in the midst of thousands of people, but she saw my friend Deborah wearing a cross. And that cross just drew her. She just pushed people left and right to walk into that cross. She wanted to see that cross. And when she got to Deborah, she couldn't understand. They couldn't understand each other, the language barrier. She brought her daughter to translate. And she said her job in Yemen was to break rocks and to get a smaller rock from the bigger rock inside that rock and polish that rock and use it for jewelry. But one day, 10 years prior to the day she met Deborah, she broke a rock and the inside rock looked like a hill with a cross crack in it. She kept that rock for 10 years. She insisted that Deborah will come and meet her in the same spot the next day. She brought the rock with her. When Deborah saw that rock, Deborah started crying. And the Muslim lady wanted to know why she's crying. Why is she crying? Deborah told her, Jesus said, if my people stop crying out, the rocks will cry out. Jesus did not find someone in Yemen to tell you about him. He led the rock to cry out to you. She knew there is something special about it. She kept it for 10 years. And that day she got to hear the gospel message twice. Her daughter heard it twice in English and she was speaking it to her mom as well. God is a God. Is an unbelievable God. He's the same God that changed Paul. He is able to change these people today. A Muslim man, he met me after the mosque outreach. I'm sorry if I'm taking long. He called me after the mosque outreach and he came to meet with me. I found out 10 years prior, someone gave him a Bible. And he was just so in love with God's word when he was reading it. And he was searching how to pray. And he found the Lord's Prayer. And he memorized it. Then his wife found the Bible. Her father is a sheikh or imam in a mosque. She took the Bible to him. And he came and told him, if you dare to have a Bible in this house again, I'm going to take my grandkids and my daughter from you. He became so afraid. He could not ever see a Bible again. Lived in that fear for 10 years. When that day he came and met with me, he told me, George, for the last 10 years inside the mosque, the only thing I pray is the Lord's Prayer. Every time I'm bowing down, I recite the Lord's Prayer. Every time I'm standing up, I recite the Lord's Prayer. Every time I'm taking a shower, I say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and my desire to be baptized. But they live in fear. They need the gospel. Every four people in the world, one is a Muslim. 1/4 of the world population are Muslims. What about the resources of the church, missionaries, funding, everything? How much going toward the Islamic world? Not a lot. Not a lot. Dearborn, Michigan, one of the most challenging places. I told you earlier, 5% of the UK Muslims, they already controlling the country. In Dearborn, Michigan, 55% Muslims. They're trying to buy every church possible. They have the call of prayer everywhere around them. The Christians moving out of the city and the churches are struggling. Can we come alongside of these churches? Can we go and meet them? Can we go and encourage them? Can we pray for them regularly? Why we wait until every church in Dearborn will be shut down? In 2009 first, they say we cannot talk about Jesus in the streets of Dearborn. I took it to court. 2010, they arrested Dr. Nabil Qureshi. He was with me and Dr. David Wood. They arrested them for sharing the gospel in the streets of Dearborn. I continue my fight all the way to Sixth Circuit Court, and by God's grace, I won that fight. And we've been going every single year to Dearborn, Michigan. Majority of Muslims are very nice people. They invite us to eat in their homes, and we sit down for hours. They love to talk about religion. They want to convert us, of course, to Islam, but yes, they attack our Bible. Yes, they attack our Lord and Savior. But what better thing for us to do than defending our Lord and Savior? They give us an amazing opportunity to share the gospel. They love to talk about it. The only doors they shut on us when we're going door to door in Dearborn are secular American people. Muslims usually bring us tea or they want us to eat with them. It's amazing. I really challenge you. If you want to bring a team and come with us, Pastor, I would love to see you with us in August as well. There's so many opportunities around us here in this area. As I told you, the gas station cashiers is a very, very good one. Please go to the same gas station. Make it a task. We have gospel material to provide for you if you're coming the next few days. We have great gospel material that you can give out. Keep it in the car with you. And this is a gift for you. Just give it to them. Or if you get a book like, for example, Nabil Qureshi's book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. It's a great book. Don't give it to them. Let them borrow it. Hey, I bought this book. I want to know your opinion about it. Because if you just give it to them, it's just going to be sitting at home. But if you give it to them and with the purpose of them checking in and giving you their opinion, I want it back, they will read it or listen to it. There's an audiobook as well, that book. I really encourage you to do that. I'm going to go ahead and close here, but I would be available if you want to ask any questions afterward. But if I can close us in prayer and then Pastor will come. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, I do want to pray. I do want to pray for Hezbollah. I do want to pray for the government of Iran. I do want to pray for Hamas and Al-Shabaab and all these terrorist organizations. Lord, there is nothing difficult for you. I do pray even for the salvation of these people, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to them and bring them out of this false religion, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are the God, the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord. We thank you for who you are, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. God became a flesh and came to lay down his life for us. The story that they may be laughing about, but Lord, I just pray that you will empower your church, Lord Jesus. Give us the boldness to stand. Give us the boldness to share and to do our job as a church, to preach the gospel to those around us that you brought from all over the world. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this location. I thank you for what you're going to do here, Lord Jesus, among the Muslim people. And I see there's Jewish people here also in these neighborhoods, Lord, that they need you as well, Lord Jesus. Lord, only through you, the Messiah, that Muslims and Jews can come to become friends. Only when they come to know you as a Lord and Savior of their lives, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that help us to reach out to the Jewish community, to the Muslim community, to those around us that you brought from all over the world, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.